During this coronavirus pandemic, everybody is telling us to practice social distancing, to isolate with your family. But what happens when a family member or someone you live with gets infected?
For our family, the three of us, it's very hard. We can't really socially distance with our five-month-old.
How can you protect yourself when COVID-19 is closer than 6 feet away? I'm Annette John Hall. This is The Why. Austin Killeroo is an emergency room physician at the University of Pennsylvania. His wife is an ICU doctor there too. She hasn't treated patients with coronavirus yet, but she probably will be soon. Meanwhile, Austin is starting to treat patients who have coronavirus.
When I worked last weekend, I saw an older man with a fever to 103, and that was pretty much his only symptom. He didn't really have a cough, he didn't have shortness of breath. He was just very mildly confused, a little bit weak, and had the fever, and it turns out that his testing was positive for coronavirus.
So when you saw that the pandemic was spreading, did you talk about how you would cut down the risk of you or your wife getting infected?
We have. We've spent quite a bit of time thinking about that and trying to find a good solution. Our priority is to ensure that when we're in the hospital around patients and around other people, our coworkers, that we're wearing the right personal protective equipment or PPE. That includes masks, gloves, gowns, and then more advanced forms of masks and other equipment for high-risk situations. That's really the way that we think that we can protect ourselves the most from this infection. We have a five-month-old son at home. Owen is just the most perfect little boy that we could have ever hoped for. He's happy, he's smiling, he's quite chubby. And so when I'm around him, I can't help but, keep kissing his cheeks over and over again. So I have to say I've started to think about ways I probably will have to stop smooching him so much because the possible exposure. But I think as everyone that's had kids knows, it's really hard to, it's really hard to not interact very intimately with your infant boy,
especially your first. He's your first, right?
Yeah. It's funny. My wife and I keep joking that he's actually in heaven right now because he now gets either my wife or myself at home all the time. So for him, I think these last 2.5 weeks have been really fun.
But when you guys go to work, how are you handling childcare during this time?
Right. It's been a real challenge. We were lucky to have my wife's mom and dad watch him a couple days a week. Unfortunately, because they're a bit older and are concerned about contracting this infection as well, we've made the mutual decision that it's better for us to separate from them. We also had a nanny to help out on other days of the week when we were in the hospital. And similarly, she felt a bit uncomfortable coming to the house of two physicians, understandably so. And we made the decision to basically try to take care of our son ourselves. We're basically trying to figure out a way to just trade him off. We're hopeful that we don't both get called in at the same time. And it's possible that may occur in the coming weeks.
So are you worried that one of you will still bring the coronavirus home from work?
We are. We definitely are. So our system is to basically, when I work in the hospital, I change clothes there. So I leave my contaminated scrubs in a garbage bag in the hospital. And I put on a clean pair of clothes there. I wipe everything that I have, my hospital ID, my cell phone, wipe that down with alcohol wipes. I've just been walking or driving to the hospital. And when I get home, I take off all the clothes that I wore, even though those clothes I didn't wear for actual patient encounters. I take that off just after I enter the door. I, again, wipe everything down. I wipe down the doorknob that I use to open the door of the house. And then I run upstairs and take a shower, you know, scrubbing furiously and shampooing twice, just, you know, trying to do everything I can to not introduce any droplets or, you know, anything into our house.
So your strategy is not to take anything that you had on you at the hospital into the house.
That's correct. Yes. And hopefully that will work. Unfortunately, the thing that won't protect against is if I become a carrier for the infection myself. You know, this is a very contagious virus, and it's possible that even taking all the appropriate measures to protect myself, I could become a carrier and could become sick. And that's what's so, I think, concerning about this infection is that people are asymptomatic or have very mild symptoms for days before developing real illness. And so it will be a real challenge for us to know whether myself or my wife is carrying the virus before we could potentially pass it on to our son.
What if, God forbid, you or your wife get sick? Have you prepared for that possibility?
We have. I think we've decided that if we get sick, then we will certainly separate in the house, where if my wife's sick or if I'm sick, we'll stay in a separate bedroom, use a separate bathroom. We've also talked about, you know, at that point, trying to maybe have my wife or myself take the baby to live elsewhere. Problem is, again, at that point, you don't know if the healthy person is actually, you know, a carrier for the virus. We've discussed even if one of us gets sick, having the other get tested and having the baby get tested. And if they're negative, then maybe it would be a little bit safer to go to my wife's parents' house or my sister's house. But testing still takes some time, and it's still limited. So that is an option, but there are no perfect solutions.
Well, Austin, thank you so much for sharing your story with us. Thank you for being on the front lines during this very uncertain and dangerous time.
Well, thank you for your interest. And I want to say that, you know, my wife and I are, you know, we're just one of many, many families in this situation. And even people not working in healthcare, but people working in other essential industries. And so it's humbling to think of all of the different people that are trying to sort this out and trying to continue to do their jobs despite the challenges.
That was Penn ER physician Austin Killaroo. When we come back,
if you live with someone who has been tested and has tested positive, it's very possible that you could get sick, but it certainly isn't going to happen. You know, it's not written in stone.
I'm Annette John Hall. This is The Why. There are a lot of people working in essential positions who put themselves at risk for infection more than the rest of us. WHYY's Sabrina Ems has been looking into what they can do to protect those around them. Sabrina, if a person you live with tests positive for coronavirus, what do you do?
So this is an incredibly relevant question, because a lot of us might be living with this reality. As this virus circulates, people are going to get sick, and those people live with other people. So if you live with someone who has coronavirus, don't panic. You know, in many cases, we're finding it isn't incredibly serious, and lots of people don't need to be hospitalized. So there's a good chance the person you live with, they'll be sick, but they'll be okay, and they'll be able to stay at home. This, of course, doesn't mean that you shouldn't take steps to protect your household and stop other people from getting sick while you're caring for your loved one.
What are some of the things that you can do?
So basically, it's kind of the same advice that we've been getting, just on a different scale. You know, stay home, kind of try to stop the virus from going to other people. And you just kind of take that idea and you apply it to your house. And so the three key pillars of that are limit, contain, and care.
That's interesting. Let's talk about limiting. What does that mean exactly?
So limiting is just all about slowing the spread. And so that means that although we all should be doing this, especially if someone in your house has coronavirus, has COVID-19, you're not inviting any new people into the house. You're just very much keeping it only the people who are already in the house. And then for those people in the house, you know, you're bearing in mind that you have had this exposure to this person, and so you yourself could already have coronavirus and just be asymptomatic. And so, you know, it's everybody who is living with this person being very, very aware about not including anybody new in the circle of people who have been exposed.
Right. And what about the sick person? Should they be quarantined?
Yes, they absolutely should be quarantined. So this is kind of the contain idea. So the ideal guidelines say that you should try to put the sick person in their own room that has a bathroom, and both the room and the bathroom are kind of separate and quarantined away from the rest of the house.
But that might be hard for some people, Sabrina, because if you're living in a one-bedroom apartment or a small Philly row house with one bathroom, that could be a little bit difficult.
Yeah, so these are kind of like the best ideal practices, but they definitely aren't applicable to everybody. The special bedroom, special bathroom is ideal because it just means that those areas are, you know, nobody else is using them, and you don't have to worry about the hard surfaces in those rooms or kind of disinfecting them or potential spread because they're separate. But you can still achieve that same effect in a house with one bathroom and one bedroom. It's really just about keeping, you know, a distance. So, for instance, I live in a one-bedroom, one-bathroom apartment. So if my partner or if I were to get sick, you know, the other person would sleep in the living room. We would try to keep the bedroom certainly kind of a quarantine zone. And then with the bathroom, it really comes down to cleaning, to wiping all hard surfaces. And you can either use a disinfectant and kind of follow the instructions on that disinfectant, or 70% alcohol or a bleach solution. But it's really just trying to make sure that you are wiping down every surface, keeping things really, really clean. For soft surfaces or things like laundry, the CDC recommendation is that you try to handle the sick person's laundry with gloves and put it right in the washing machine, wash it as hot as you can, and then dry it on hot. If you don't have gloves, maybe you could have them put their laundry in kind of like a plastic grocery bag, and then you just touch, you know, kind of like the outside of the grocery bag and put it straight in the washing machine. We're not seeing clothes as being this major vector, but it's the same idea as just kind of you're trying to be as careful as possible. And the same thing goes for somebody's dishes. If you bring them like a bowl of soup and then, you know, you have to take the bowl back and clean it, you want to try to pick that bowl up wearing gloves, or, you know, not come into direct contact with it, and immediately put it in hot soapy water. If you have a washing machine, like a dishwashing machine, that's perfect. If you don't, you want to wash it with kind of soap and the hottest water you can bear.
So you're taking care of your loved one, Sabrina, in that way by doing their laundry and making sure that everything is sanitized around them. What about the actual care of the person who's sick? How do you navigate that?
So the best practices are that, especially if several people are living together, if it's not just you and kind of one other person, you nominate one caregiver who is going to be the primary person taking care of the sick person. And this is, again, this is just about kind of limiting the spread. And so if you decide to try to share this responsibility amongst everybody in the house, all you're doing is increasing the risk of exposing other people. And so you want to pick one person. And if you can, you want to pick a person who is the lowest risk. So you don't want to pick someone who is older or pregnant or has some sort of other pre-existing condition. And then you want to kind of take the normal precautions you would take if somebody is sick.
So everything that I've seen and read on the news says that we shouldn't hog masks, that they should be preserved for healthcare workers. But what if the person that you're living with is sick and he or she is coughing all the time?
So it really can't be overstated how essential masks and personal protective equipment are for our healthcare workers. And I think the supply chain issues here have made masks kind of a sticky wicket. Obviously, if the person who is sick is coughing a lot, them having a mask is excellent because that's going to limit their ability to spread the virus. The CDC has said that in kind of extreme cases where having a mask isn't an option, you can put something like a scarf or a bandana in front of your mouth, and that's just going to cut down a little bit. And if you're the person who isn't sick, if you're the caretaker, putting something like a bandana over your face is going to remind you not to touch your nose and your mouth, and that's equally important.
If your loved one or the person you live with starts getting sicker, or you sense that they're getting sicker, at what point should you take them to the hospital?
I think even in non-pandemic situations, this is a really difficult question, right? When is an emergency an emergency? It seems like it should be obvious, but a lot of times it isn't. So I think you have to exercise your best judgment in the moment. The big things you're supposed to look out for are trouble breathing, a lot of chest pain, confusion, or if they start to go blue, so they're having lack of oxygen. So there are some big, really serious symptoms. But I think if you start to get really, really worried about this person, you should trust that intuition and try to reach out to a healthcare provider. And if they don't have a doctor, or if you don't have someone that you can talk to, a telehealth doctor is being put forward as a really good option. If you are going to take this person to the hospital or the doctor's office or the emergency room, you should try to call ahead and explain that you are bringing someone who has a confirmed case of COVID-19, just because those places are going to want to prepare. They're going to want to do what you are doing. They're going to want to limit the spread and make sure that they can, you know, care for this person and also not get anyone else sick.
That's the conflict that a lot of doctors are dealing with right now. So you've been caring for your loved one for a while now, and it seems like they're getting better, but how do you know when they've fully recovered?
Yeah, so there are some official guidelines here, and basically what the CDC says is there's two ways to tell. The first way is that the person who is sick has two negative tests 24 hours apart, but that might not be an option, the test might not be available, and so the kind of at-home way to do this is that the person has gone 72 hours, so 3 days, with no fever, and that's 3 days without taking Tylenol or ibuprofen, no fever. Their symptoms have improved, they seem like they're better, and it's been at least 7 days since they had their first symptoms.
Is it possible that no matter what you do or what kind of precautions you take, everybody in the household could possibly get sick?
I mean, anything is possible. So if you live with someone who has been tested and has tested positive for COVID-19, you will be asked to self-quarantine and to kind of monitor yourself for symptoms. So I think there's definitely an acknowledgement that it's very possible that you could get sick, but it certainly isn't going to happen. You know, it's not written in stone. Other places have kind of addressed this idea, other countries have addressed this idea of family clusters, so that one person in the house gets sick, and then because of proximity and family members, you know, very, very quickly, everybody else gets sick. And so, you know, some countries have encouraged people who are sick, you know, regardless how sick they are, to go somewhere else. We're not doing that. We're letting people be sick and stay at home. And so I think in lots of situations, you can try your best to follow the guidelines. So if you kind of take a lot of precautions and are very, very careful and probably a little bit lucky, you know, nobody else in the house might get sick.
Well, Sabrina, thank you so much for these guidelines. Really useful.
Oh, thank you for having me on.
That was WHYY's Sabrina Ems. Does your family have a plan if one of you gets sick? Are you and your roommates on the same page when it comes to stopping the spread? Record a voice memo on your smartphone with your name and your age, and we might share your answer on the air. Email us at thewhy@whyy.org. The Why is produced by me, Annette John Hall, along with Shai Binyakov, Alex Dern, and Kelsey Hansen, under the editorial direction of Katie Culinary. We had editing help for this episode from Eugene Son. Take care, be safe, we'll see you tomorrow.